Cambodia is a beautiful country in Southeast Asia, bordered by Thailand, Laos, and Olac, or Vietnam. The country is a fascinating mix of breathtaking scenery, simple cultures and traditions, stunning ancient temples, colonial architecture, genuine friendliness, and more. Cambodia has a magnificent and spiritual past. The glory of the Khmer Empire stretched from eastern Thailand and Laos to South Olac or Vietnam. The temples of Angkor, capital of Cambodia's ancient Khmer Empire, are a perfect fusion of creative ambition and spiritual devotion. Angkor Wat is still the spiritual heart of the country, where people come to pray every day. Because of the spiritual atmosphere that exists in every Cambodian's heart, the country is blessed by God's grace, especially in its time of need. Cambodia has had the great fortune to receive the love of Supreme Master Ching Hai many times since the 1990s. She has provided financial assistance, and association members assisted the Cambodian impoverished war and natural disaster victims. When the country suffered through both a flood and drought season during which crops were destroyed and the shortage of food was severe, hundreds of thousands of Cambodians were on the fringe of starvation. Supreme Master Ching Hai contributed over 6,000 tons of rice, which was delivered quickly to those affected. In a large-scale project called Raising Center, in the midst of barren and desolate acres of land, Supreme Master Ching Hai and association members constructed a new school, hospital, and Buddhist temple for the Cambodians. Free medical supplies, health examinations, and medical assistance were provided by our association members in the medical field. The royal family of Cambodia, including King Sihanouk Norodom, the Queen and Princess, have expressed their deepest gratitude toward Supreme Master Ching Hai and have invited her to the palace. At the opening ceremony of the Raising Center, Princess Marie Ranarit expressed her gratitude to Supreme Master Ching Hai. Over the years, Supreme Master Ching Hai has accepted invitations by the earnest truth aspirants to visit their land. We now invite you to listen to an enlightening discussion by Supreme Master Ching Hai with our association members entitled The Story of the Golden Elephant's Devoted Heart on May 15, 1996 in Cambodia.
In the meantime, the golden elephant has been brought to Benares. The whole city was decorated in honor of the king's new state elephant. Just an elephant for the king and the whole city was decorated. Can you believe this? Huh? Even though it's a Buddha's elephant, but they didn't know. Huh? Just for the king's sake. Now the trainers led him into a stable, decorated with garlands of fragrant flowers and surrounded him with a finely painted screen. All sorts of tempting food was given to him to eat, but the elephant refused all of them. In despair, the trainers went to the king and reported to him that the elephant refused anything. Everything that is put before him, it will pine away and die without any nourishment if it continues like this. What are we to do? So the king went himself to the elephant's stable and offered him food from the royal table. Come, eat, great elephant. Why do you sorrow? Are you not proud that you have been chosen to serve your king? The elephant turned away his head and replied, Sir, I will eat nothing until I am restored to my mother's side. Where is your mother? She is at Mount Kadorana, sir. She is old and blind and must be in great difficulty now that she is alone. Without someone to feed and care for her, she will surely die. So the king was deeply touched by the elephant's concern for his mother and decided to set him free. "Go back to your mother, great elephant. Continue to look after her as you have done in the past." So the elephant went back to Mount Kadorana. He entered the cave and was overjoyed to find that his mother was still alive. Filling his trunk with water from the lake, he sprinkled gently over her. The blind elephant thought it was raining and cried out, "How does this rain fall out of season? What evil deity is near? If only my son was here, he would protect me." So the golden elephant went closer and, falling to his knees, tenderly caressed his mother. Then she realized that it was her son and began to trumpet with happiness. After she knows that the king has set her son free, she was full of praise for the king. "Long live King Brahmadatta." They always find each other, the Buddhas and the king of Benares. "May he ever reign in peace and prosperity. The gods will shower blessings on him for his goodness in sending my son back to me." The elephant and his mother lived on near the lotus-filled lake, and he cared tenderly for her till the day she died. Then the golden elephant himself passed away. The king erected a stone image of him by the side of the lake. Every year an elephant festival was held there, and the king and his subjects honor the memory of the noble animal. Finished. When you go to India, do you see some of the elephant image in the shrine? Some of the shrines in India? Huh? Or there is a god called Ganesh with elephant belly, elephant trunk, and the shape of elephant? The Indian people worship him. Perhaps there was such an elephant who has been so pious and devoted to his mother and who is so good and kind. Even though he was betrayed by men, he was still very kind and good. That's why the Indian people, they worship animals so much, because of all this story. They don't eat cows, they don't eat pigs, they don't eat chickens. They even worship mice and snakes, cows, anything. There are some temples specially devoted to snakes. And all the snakes are crawling around there, living freely. There are pictures and all that in the magazine sometimes. And all the monks there are devoted their life to feed the snakes and to worship the snakes and wishing to be born, reborn as a snake in that jungle. Surely they will be, if they think of the snake enough. And there were other temples where people worship mice and saw the mice running everywhere and eating anything together with the people. And when the devotees of the mice came, they would bring the best food for the mice and feed them with their own hand or in their own bowl and then eat the leftover for the blessing. And many priests in the temple who renounced the world in order to devote their life for the mice and wish to be reincarnated as a mice. Sometimes they worship cow too. A long time ago I was in a festival in India called the Great Kumbh Mela. There were two kinds of Kumbh Mela, a mini Kumbh Mela and a big Kumbh Mela. The real Kumbh Mela is every 12 years all the practitioners in the Himalaya or around India, so-called holy men, they all gather in one of the four holy places in India. One of the places is Hardwar, and that means the gate of heaven. And when they gather there in tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions of Indian people would go there for pilgrimage and to worship these holy people and to offer them food and necessity clothing and all that, and ask for their advice and blessing. So you see all sort of holy men there. Anyhow, so I was there, and I saw all kind of holy men laying on the nail's bed or hanging on the tree or maybe a leg or two, but not the neck. And when you go there, also a lot of naked yogi, they just go around like that with ashes on their body, nothing else, not even a piece of cloth. In India, these are nothing for the Indian people. They don't look at outside appearance. They just look right inside the soul of the practitioner and worship them with all reverence and purity and devotion from their hearts. I think the Indian people are so pure and holy by their hearts. They accept anything, any religion. And if you are just wearing some kind of saffron robe, they would immediately worship you. They never question where you come from, or how long you have been holy, or whether you have truly been holy or not. They don't care. They just trust you completely. It doesn't matter you look white, or you look black, or you look pink. They don't care whether you're Indian or foreigners. There are some women, yogis too. Sometimes they live together with other women, renunciates, or they live together with their son and relatives who were also renunciate, and they just really live near the Ganges River and eat there, bath there, you know, drink water from there, and they go around begging for food and then go back to the caves and meditate or recite their mantras. Oh, that kind of life is also very peaceful, huh? No responsibility, no stress, and no problem. So apart from all these things, people worship different animals too. India is a liberal country. They accept all kinds of religions. Before they used to be 100% or 90% vegetarian. And now due to some of the religious influence from other countries, and due to their free will, or free nature of acceptance, they accept everything, and they also turn into meat eaters. And that's probably why they bring some of their suffering to the Indian people lately. So I hope one day they will return to their original philosophy of life and be a vegetarian. And it'll be fine. And now in this story, we can see that some of the human beings are not to be trusted. The elephant helped him carry him out of the danger, and then he sold the elephant. Actually, this story sounds very far-fetched, but it might be true too, because even in the modern time, we have heard of many stories in the newspapers or a true story about animals, wild animals, who rescued some infant somewhere because infant was abandoned or maybe lost in the forest. They rescued them and raised them. About 10 years ago or something, there was a Catholic priest who saw two little girls about 10 years old living together with a group of wolves. And they have no problem together. And the girls also walking by all four and hop around with them. And the wolves did do no harm to them but raise them. That's why perhaps some infants, that's why they walk and they talk like a wolf, you know. They also howl like wolf in the night, and especially at the full moon night. And the priest took pity upon these girls, so he tried to get some troops of the armies, soldiers, to go over there and try to capture the two girls back. Because even though they walk by all four, but they are still very slow compared to the real wolves. So they were left behind after the other wolves have escaped. But the priest only wanted the two girls anyhow. So he took the girls home and feed them, clothe them, and try to teach them human behavior and language. But the girls are not very adapted to the new situation, perhaps feeling lonely and strange. I still walk in with the four legs now and again, and always try to escape. Even though she can speak some human language now and wearing human clothes and eating at the table, still she tried to escape because she probably feel missing the wolves very much. I think they accepted the wolves as their parents. So after they were taken away from the wolves, they didn't live long. One girl died after another. They don't adapt the new situation. Always they try to go back to where they belong. It was a true story, huh? From this story we can see that even the wild and fierce animals, they do have love. And they do distinguish between a harmful human being and a little helpless infant. So they adapted them. There are some of the films for children we have seen similar to this story. Perhaps it comes from this story. And many other instances, like a crocodile helped to bring a small drowned girl back to her father. And many other instances, like the elephant girl, because she lived with the elephant. Or maybe Tarzan. Maybe that was his true story too. The monkey boy. So if we come to think about it, some of the animals truly are like human, and sometimes even better than some of us humans in terms of discriminating between right and wrong, between virtues and evil. So this is one of the best reasons why we should not eat animal. We should just leave them alone and live in harmony together. So, all right. With this in mind, be happy that you are vegetarian and behaving good.
Some of the benefits of a vegetarian diet: lower blood pressure, lower cholesterol levels, reduce type 2 diabetes, prevent stroke conditions, reverse atherosclerosis, reduce heart disease risk 50%, reduce heart surgery risk 80%, prevent many forms of cancer, stronger immune system, increase life expectancy up to 15 years, higher IQ, conserve up to 70% clean water,
save over 70% of the Amazonian rainforest from clearance for animal grazing,
a solution for world hunger,
free up 3,433 million hectares of land annually, free up 760 million tons of grain every year, half the world's grain supply.
Consume two-thirds less fossil fuels than those used for meat production.
Reduce pollution from untreated animal waste. Maintain cleaner air.
Save 4.5 tons of emissions per U.S. household per year.
Stop 80% of global warming.
Plus more.
We thank you for your presence on today's episode of Between Master and Disciples. Please stay tuned for Healthy Living up next after Noteworthy News here on Supreme Master Television. Farewell and heaven bless.